Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Series 2 of Postcards from the Edge, a podcast where every week I'll be Zooming, is that a word, with some amazing guests to chat about life, love, family, and all the other little things that basically drive them and me to the edge. But more importantly, we'll be chatting to them about their coping mechanisms and how they de-stress, unwind, and learn to take life a little bit less seriously. We all know that I definitely need help in that category. So, without further ado, let's get straight to it, shall we? This week's guest needs no introduction, but I'm going to give him one anyway. It is the Iceman himself, Wim Hof, and he has cometh. In this episode, Wim takes me, and now you, on a crazy ride through his mission to make everyone just breathe. Something that Robbie Williams always makes fun of me for is that I am always cold. Now, I am a California girl, and yes, I get cold at anything underneath 70 degrees, which I believe is your people's 21. So, when Wim Hof is trying to convince me to take an ice bath every day for my health, it's going to take some convincing. But if anyone can do it, I think the Iceman can. But for starters, let's just start with some simple breath work. Take it away, Wim. Postcards from the
Edge. Well, I am beyond excited to introduce this next guest, Wim Hof. I don't even know where to begin with your accolades. I think we just start with, fuck yeah, Wim Hof is on the podcast, because this is one of the coolest moments of my podcast career. I'm so fucking excited to be sat here with you, talking to you, because you are someone I have witnessed for a long time now. My husband is the first one that told me about you many, many years ago. And it was like, who's this guy? And then through the years, I've seen you interviewed by everybody. I've seen you on the Goop program. Like, you've just been blowing up in the universe. And I feel so grateful to be in this moment with you, talking to you and basking. I would say basking instead of the heat, basking in the cold with you. Wow. Wim Hof, thank you for being here.
Thanks, Ada. That's a great entrance. That must be a temple because the entrance is so great.
The temple of Wim.
Yes, the temple of sacredness we will enter. And that's where the blasphemy of the past, the darkness of our past, we will just make it fucking going away. And we, because people don't understand that language directly, that's why I went through signs, and now we come to sense. And then we say, get the fucking door open because it's your temple. Hey, you have the key to your sacredness, your temple, your body, your mind. It is 100% yours. Take it on. And don't stay parasited in a mind which is half numb and always living in stress, in fear, and captivated in this chatterbox inside, and doesn't know how to switch it all off. We need to bring people back what they own, and that's their own mind and body. And with that, we will create autonomy. And then paradise is bound to happen. So fuck the past. Let's get into paradise. It's the future, and we, you and me here right now, are going to bring it.
I fucking love that. Like, just the ability to have any ownership over ourselves and to not be submissive to our fear and locked into our thoughts. Because I think, especially with the pandemic and everything that's happened, it's been so easy to get caught in the stress and lose our sense of power in ourselves and power in this situation. And that's what I find so incredible, really, about your whole journey is how, you know, when I was thinking about what was really transformative for you with, you know, with this podcast is about, we're discussing the edges of our life. And, you know, something that was bringing tears to my eyes, in fact, every time I've listened to you speak about it, is the loss of your first wife. And I still am emotional talking about this with you because I'm a mother to 4 kids. I relate on every human level to your story. And it was amazing to me when I was listening to you talk about how you ended up in this place and how agony was transformative for you in this process. Was that really that you hate the fucking cold? It's like, first of all, does he like the cold? He fucking hates the cold. But how in that moment when you were sat in the park, that you went, something called you to the water, that ice cold water. And it was the first time in this grief of losing your wife that you were able to drown out the pain, that this survivalism, this merciless water cut down your pain.
Yes, no, it is exactly what it is. It goes beyond words. You, at the moment when you live in such a mental agony of being without the love of your life, and then the mother of your 4 children, you got 4 children, you know what it is. So imagine your husband kissing the kids goodbye and then jump from 8 stories down. How devastated can you be? How much can you do with words at that moment or with thoughts? You can't do anything. The only thing that could make this suppressing go away was going into the icy water. And then the therapeutical power of icy water, apparently at that moment, just coming from a gut feeling, going in and doing it, that made my brain go down beyond words. And there a slight bit of the door was opened to healing. Yeah, this mental agony just goes on, and then it stops, and something else opens. And there is the ability of nature to heal, to come in, and to do its work. But we alienated so much from nature that we do not know anymore that nature has actually everything in store for us, in ourselves, all of us, to deal with whatever stress that's going on in the world. That is nature. That is our spiritual nature. And with spirituality, I mean much more groundedness than all the medical science and psychiatric understanding is able to captivate. It is not. They don't understand what is depression, manic depression, schizophrenia, bipolar, whatever. They don't understand. They don't understand the core values of nature. That is, nature has provided us, hardwired us to deal with the stress coming. Who else was going to take care of my 4 children when I had no money and I had 4 children and my love of my life was gone? Who else? Hey, nature knows, not the psychiatrists, the so-called doctors. Their time is up. It's over. There is a spiritual pandemic right now going on in the world. It's all about depression and anxiety, and we don't know how to deal with it. Hey, guys, let's get out of this thinking brain and make the mystery once again mysterious. That is life itself. It has all the capacity. It is unlimited in the power of the mind. If we once know how to disentangle of this chatterbox created by this society and incapable for children to learn to shut it down. That's why they should bring meditation inside schools for kids They should learn how to be happy, strong, and healthy. This is all hardwired inside. But we know they got to put something that systematically narrows us down in certain parts of our brain. And then we get into this hierarchic, career-chasing kind of valueless, moral-less, ethical-less. There is no ethics. It's only money. It's only power. And with that, you gain the world. All those promises. I don't want to sit at the next to my baby's bed and sing lullabies of what is not true. I want to make this world a place where we are able to reconnect with our hardwired capacity to be happy, strong, and healthy. It's all there. Back then, I didn't know. But this is the way I healed myself. My children made me survive the cold water. Just shut you up. Shut this chatterbox. Get out. You can't do anything. But here I am in full grace, happy, strong, healthy. Yeah, it's almost unimaginable when things like that happen and suddenly a power is able to emerge that says, hey, this darkness is not here to stay. It happened. And now, look, there's a new tree. There's a new flower coming up. Give it attention. Give it water. Give it care. Give it love. And it will be growing up to the skies and the stars and back. We are not born to live in depression into the darkness. We came from the space that is darkness. We are here. We are beings of light, all of us. And once the others are swallowed into the darkness, let us be the ones who live for them simultaneously. And that's what I do. Since then, I have been working on ways to heal myself, but then now I'm working with psychiatrists and I show them how to beat depression, bipolar, schizophrenia, how to enter into the brain and learn to own our own brain. For God's sake, that is our own brain. What happened? We can shoot people to the moon. We cannot enter in our brain and make use. It is Ada. By the way, where comes this beautiful name from?
Ah, thank you. By the way, I'm literally soaking up everything you're saying right now, because to me, you are talking about a key to the universe. You are talking about our spiritual being, our spiritual truth, where we exist. And I could not agree with you more on how lost we are within our own brains and how we should be able to take ownership of them, and how we're instilling the wrong things and getting more and more locked up in the chaos and the chatter and losing touch with the divine beauty, which is exactly what you're saying. It's the yin to the yang. In this darkness comes beauty and alternate truth, hope. There is space where there is no space. It's incredibly beautiful to me. So I just want to say that before I tell you the story of my name, because I was just like, keep going. It was just like, and I was going to ask you about spiritual practice. I have a bunch of questions on that, but my name is Turkish and it means on the moon. And my dad was Turkish. And maybe that's why I'm celestially drawn to what's happening in the universe, is my name is rooted in it. So I'm half Turkish and half American. But when you were talking about that, I was so fascinated, because I love this ability, because in your process, through your process, you found this spiritual space and this complete absence of hope and complete darkness. You found this beauty of the universe and your ability to tap into it when the noise went away. When in the process did you realize that your own journey could then begin to unlock the journey for others? When was that shift? Because obviously at the beginning, you were just trying to survive your own pain and create the space and be a father to your four children in the face of the deepest hole anyone can face. When did you start to get aware enough or strong enough or so empowered by this truth that you realized that not only would you bear this, but you would bear this and teach this for others? When was that moment for you? Do you remember?
Yes. First of all, it was my kids. First of all, I had to show my kids that I was like open to the destiny, the fate of my humanity in myself, because I'm the example. I need to bring the love in the family, and the love is the drive. Love is the greatest power, because if you love something, nothing will stop you. And you know that. That's what it is. And so I love my children. Nothing will stop me of giving that what they need. Whatever way, it doesn't matter. So I found out that going into that practice made me have all the energy I needed. I was everywhere, and I did a breathing, and I was everywhere. Last January, for example, I was in the Spanish, in the Italian Alps, doing a BBC series, 12 of them, and we, you know, COVID. I had to do protocol, 5 days of a quarantine first, and then I got to the set, which was a 200 people production. BBC, Attenborough kind of camera people and all. Huge, huge organization and a huge operation. I called it the James Bond operation somewhere in the mountains. Amazing. So there I was. And then because they began to swap me, swap me in the nose and in the throat, and it irritated my first line of defense.
Your passageway.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it irritated me so much. I began to cough. I told them, I'm not sick. I don't have COVID. I didn't have it for the last 2.5 years. And I embrace and hug so many people. It's unimaginable. This is what I do. I hug people all the time because I love people. Come here. Yeah, let's hug. Let's feel, touch, human touch. Okay, but that's the way to get COVID. I never have COVID. Come on. I go into the eyes and all. I do breathing. So, but I said to the guys over there, but they had to follow the protocol. Hey, if you want, I'm not sick, but if you want to make me sick, then keep on doing this. And they kept on doing it. And they kept on doing it so much that day four, after the 5 days of quarantine, day four of the rehearsals before, I got to be positive.
Yeah.
And then 10 days by the protocol, I had to be isolated for 10 days. And then only 1 week stayed, remained to do 12 episodes BBC. Now, do you know what I did? I breathed like a crazy every morning, and I was so on, I could take it all the 200 people operation, I could take them on easily. That's what the breathing is doing. It cleanses you. If you are bothered by emotions, agony, suicide, it's terrible.
It's awful.
And it hits upon you physically. It deregulates our hormonal system, causes inflammation, causes serotonin uptake to be deranged, and thus the pressure loss called depression. That's darkness. There's no light. Why not? Because certain hormones are out of balance. And how to deal with that? That is what the breathing does. The breathing is dealing with the chemical, biochemical residue effectively. And when you go into the icy water, now we know, 250% dopamine rise, 540% noradrenaline. And those are essential in a depression that they lack for. And who is telling this in psychiatry in the world? Just go and have an ice bath on a regular basis. And they don't. So that's the sickness.
Do you know what's amazing to me? Because as you were talking about, and I was kind of researching the method again and getting familiar with everything, is my mom has Parkinson's. And so I did the breathing technique actually with her before this, because I was reminded, because I, of course I remember you know, when I was watching the programs from past interviews, it was, you know, battling the cold and being able to be in it without feeling it. But I was disconnected from the whole part of the method that treats the parasympathetic nervous system and that and the relationship of that with your immune response. And when I was seeing and reading about the, you know, the prevention and the treatment of autoimmune diseases, of course, my alarm bells ran off for my mom. And so we've just made a commitment to each other to do our breathing exercises every morning together. But that's I would love to take her into the cold because she's someone who obviously battles this every day. And, you know, just like you're talking about in Western society in particular, we have a pharmaceutical answer, a medical answer for these ailments. You know, she takes levodopa, she takes medicine, you know, more medicine. She has lupus, so they give her lupus medication. But no one talks about the spiritual side of the immune response, you know, our control of the brain and that impact on our immune system and keeping the parasympathetic nervous system calm. No one talks about that. And no one talks about this physical response that the ice has in helping condition that. So, I mean, I just want your method, your word to be out there. And anyone who's listening to this right now, who suffers from an autoimmune disease, who suffers bad health, or even just physical pain that is potentially even being caused by emotional pain that is not being addressed, you know, the mind-body response, how much this can help someone, how much this is essential to our well-being that really doesn't get discussed.
Yes, and that's the real disease. The real disease, this is not making money. It only brings health and happiness and strength. This is affecting directly the hormonal system. Hormonal system is all about health and strength. The adrenaline axis, the dopamine, serotonin, the cannabinoids, all those are the hormonal system. And we, with our will, are connected with that endocannabinoid system inside our brain, hardwired, only it's not activated. And this is what it does. When you go into the cold, you go into a painful response. Why? Because it's dangerous to go into cold. But you have the tools to become stronger from the inside to oppose the power of the cold on the body to neutralize. And then the body inside becomes really strong. Then you connect consciously with that adrenal axis. And whenever other dangers happen then, you have this willful
response
control
system.
That is awakening to our innate capacity to deal with danger. What is danger? That is not only cold, but also heat. It is the virus. It is the bacteria. It is depression. It is emotion, mental stress. All is dangerous to our system. Only now through the cold, we are able to learn to respond consciously toward it. That's why I say go through this initial stressful response of the cold, because we have weakened our bodies and awakened the body. And then it gets into neurological connection with the deepest part of the brain. And it shows, Ada, it shows. It's brain scans, the best brain scans of the world, we have shown how to activate through the breathing techniques 100% neural activity in the brain.
Wow. 100.
This is far past the narrowed down consciousness we live in. So what we give is not only how to deal with stress caused by emotions, mental stress, bacteria, virus, heat, cold. It's all stress mechanisms are all relating with biochemical stress coming from all these things through the cold and through these breathing techniques. Now it comes, these breathing techniques. I mean, if you don't breathe for a couple of minutes, that's the most stressful you can understand there is. And
well,
so
this is,
you learn to control that. You control the stress mechanisms. And nobody told us So this needs to be in primary schools taught to children. Love to do breathing exercises. They will be masters after 1 month. You will see what children are capable of. I got two children right now with cancer, tumors, both 5 and 7 years. A mother came to me 6 weeks ago. Listen to this story. And she comes and I don't know what to do at in a medical hospital. They cannot be treated because their white cells are too low in count. And I don't know what to do because they have brain tumors. And I said to her, I will be beside you. I believe nature has the answer. And I've seen it already. I will be until these kids are completely healed. Do you understand?
Wow.
I told her.
Wow.
And then she broke into tears because she finally saw somebody standing there for her as a person, as a human. Yes? And then you can let go. And then it starts. And now I say, now let's start. No sentiment. Let's start and do it. And let results say what is really happening. And within 1 week, playfully going into cold and breathing, their white cell count multiplied 10 times.
Wow.
And then they could go easily into chemo, even make the dosage more. They are doing great. They are the only children who have no side effects of the chemo. They are fully energetic, don't lose hair.
Wow.
They are feeling great. They are kids. They are kids, and they are curing.
That resonates, because when my mom went through chemotherapy, because she got cancer at the beginning of the pandemic, she actually couldn't do all of her chemo and radiation. And she was not able to get her full treatment because her white blood cell count was too low, and they couldn't, because of the lupus, and they couldn't get it up. And it's just amazing to me that this power exists that's within us to heal ourselves. And I mean, I'm someone who's fully engaged in health and wellness and alternative thinking. And even I didn't have access or the know-it-all to think, oh, here's this correlation. Again, I'm just like so grateful that someone might
be
listening to this.
That's it, Aida. That's it. This is a correlation we bring. We have to bring to the people that they have autonomy, that they are hardwired to deal with stress in any way. We only have to get back. Like any animal, when it is sick, It crawls back. It goes into a hole, and then the healing process is able to heal. But what we do is go to the doctor, kill the symptoms, not the source, and then keep on going as if that is the right thing to do. It's so unnatural all, but it makes money, so it keeps on going. It is parasite. It's living on sick people, on the and mentally, spiritually, on the dependency of people. People don't know what their autonomy is. We are born to be autonomous, and we are born to be together and to help each other. It's all in the package. But now we are alienated therefrom. So for that, you said the right word, correlation. It is a correlation that will awaken, but we got to bring this correlation to the people that they have this innate capacity to deal with any stress. It's there.
Now, how long, for example, because I'm like, yes, I'm getting into, and by the way, there's no money to be made in breathing and cold water. So the pharmaceutical companies aren't interested in it because there's nothing that's free. How long for the benefit? You know, you were talking about the dopamine release and the adrenaline to get the benefit of this kind of stress reaction strength. How long do you have to submerge in the cold water and do the breathing for there to really be the benefit? Is it just initial exposure, even if it's just 30 seconds, that's enough to help? Or is there a scientific kind of established in your opinion of this kind of optimal zone to help an everyday person who just
I
wants
got you.
To, yeah.
I got you. For every person, there is a guide, and that's his own feeling. The feeling says there is something wrong. Now, when you take these techniques on, then in the same day, you will be able to address that feeling. Right. So it takes one day.
Wow.
And from there, once you get hold of that feeling and you feel good instead of feel bad, it's connecting.
Right. It's awakening. It's firing.
I mean, if I do this, if I want to feel good, this hand, no, I feel it bad. I don't feel it. Maybe energetically, but hey, yeah.
Right.
You know, that feeling is very clear. So as clear as that it is, on the same day when people begin to practice this, they will get a hold of their reconnect with their innate capacity to deal with this situation. Now,
just quickly, what if someone, like, you know, for those, obviously you go, well, if you have an ice bath or you're a frozen lake, you can do this. But what about someone who maybe doesn't have access to that? Can they do it with just the breathing? Do they, like, how is, you know, to make it the most accessible possible? What is the way?
If they do a cold shower, they
cold
also.
Cold shower will do. Okay.
It's just a thermogenesis. That is cardiovascular training.
Just to raise the heart rate and then control it with your breathing.
That is one. That's what the cold shower does. And it activates millions of little primitive muscles in the vascular system. Then the blood flow goes better through the body, through the cells. Better food for the cells and less stress for the heart. So the heart will go down with beating like 20 times or 25 times a minute, 24 hours a day. So as simple as that is. And the government should advocate this.
Yes, like I feel like this needs to be...
Oh, simple.
Yeah, simple.
Da 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 da.
I love totally. By the way, love that ABBA song. One of my favorites in the whole
world. Yeah, ABBA is good, eh?
ABBA is great. You know, I had a dog named ABBA. That's how much I love ABBA.
Oh, I also love it. My wife also love it. We just saw a documentary of them again. You know,
wow,
those songs and these angel-like songs and beings. How innocent they were into. They were just in. They were connected.
That's what I was just about to say.
Yeah.
I feel like for me, ABBA was the universe source. Like how that all aligns and transcends, I don't know. But I feel like they were connected and are connected to the source. That's magic.
Yes. And so is everybody. We need to bring back creativity. Since the industrialization, we have been copying so much. Killing our sense of creativity. How can you think that it is the same thing to do, to have a healthy economy, if you have people do this all day long?
Well, it's distraction, isn't it? We get so distracted with that we don't look inside.
People take it! So that's how far we got. It's sickening.
And now I feel like because of the pandemic, we're further down this hole where we're more scared, there's more stress, we're more distracted than ever, and we're so far away from that source, which is why for me, this podcast series was really important to explore these edges, because I feel like we need to come away from the edge and come back to this power, where you are literally the foundation of this for me, because where you really are empowering people is within themselves, which I think is truly the key to us healing individually and as a world right now. And
yeah, this is what I always say. Just be, Wim, what is the way? What is the, okay, just keep it simple. Be happy, strong, and healthy. The rest is bullshit. That's
it. I love it. Yeah, I like that.
Or to say it eloquently, fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah! Fuck yeah! Woo, both arms up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I found fascinating when I was doing your breathing technique before this? Because I really wanted to feel physically, you know, before I even talked about this, really feel myself. And what I noticed, and I've noticed this before, because I've done a few breathing techniques like, holotropic breathing and orthostatic hypertension. I've noticed this incredible fear within myself when I'm breathing, that it's scarier to breathe than to not breathe. And I was wondering if you had any experience with that or at the beginning, because I imagine now fear almost becomes irrelevant for you. That was another question I had was, does fear even have a place in your life now? Do you find yourself surprised by fear sometimes? And do you find, I imagine you're so practiced in breathing, you lean into it without fear, but I found, and I would imagine that a lot of people are like me, where there's a fear in breathing.
Yes, it's the most fearful. If you don't breathe, imagine. Then within a minute, if it attacks you, you can't breathe, like hyperventilation or something. Mm-hmm. And suddenly you cannot breathe. That is the most stressful you can ever imagine. It's terrible. Because then you are at that moment, and fear is the messenger. It says, you have no control. You have no control. Let me go back. First time I did my rehearsal, swimming under the ice. I was swimming under the ice, had no goggles on. I lost weight. I couldn't see anymore. I was underneath the cap of ice and had no goggles on. And I was not breathing. I mean, there is no air.
No.
And it's cold. It's cold, claustrophobic. All those things are happening at the same time. The thing is that I did not feel fear. And I did not feel physical drowning agony. I did twice the world distance, world record distance. And I was still trying to find, already my energy was so low, almost out. But in me, myself, I didn't feel the drowning agony. I didn't feel suffocating. I was okay. Why? Because I was alkaline. My body was fully alkaline. So the breathing trigger doesn't come. It only comes when it is sore.
Right.
So learn in the breathing exercises to, and you could use a paper strip, which says acidic, alkaline. You
okay.
know these papers?
Yes, of course, yeah.
And you can use, and you can see, And you do a breathing session before you pee or saliva.
Right, yeah.
And then you see where it is. And then
wow.
you do it.
Oh, I like off. That.
Yes.
Oh, I like that.
And then you see you will have no fear needed anymore because you are in control of bringing up the pH level way on. We proved this in university. And then your fear will subside because your fear, we have a negative connotation with fear, but fear actually is a messenger. It shows you, hey, there is no control here. Can you come to follow me? It's a guide. It's a messenger. It right. wants to bring you, and then you process it. And right. most of the time, it has to do with something which is a wrong biochemistry in the brain, stored up, could be trauma, the wrong emotional experiences. It could be mental issues. It could be whatever it is. In the end, it is always biochemical of biochemical nature. And you are able, just with the breath, to bring tranquility or to make it the pH level up is when tranquility comes in. And then the neurosignal called to us, fear will subside.
Wow.
That very simple. And have the trust because you are hardwired to have your fear working for you as your friend, as your messenger. And then breathe. Breathe toward it. Say, stop, world. I got something going on. I cannot go on right now that way. I just got to go back in myself. I'll call you later. I see you later. And later, I will be much better than I am now. So how do you want me? Like I am now, bewildered in anxiety, in fear, or without fear? No anxiety. Great energy. Hey, how about it? You know?
I love that. You know, like, because part of that, I think, has to do with boundaries that we've lost. You know, like, you know, the phone, texting, emailing, all these obligations that we now have. It's, we're constantly accessible. We're on 24 hours. And there seems to be no boundary for the self-care saying, now I take care of myself. And just in that breath, in one breath I just took, I felt a coating of the system. It's amazing. The magic.
And there it is. The simplicity. Could it be all in just simple breathing? I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah. I 100% agree.
And then I say to the people, hey, just leave meditations and philosophies and esoteric disciplines. Just go to your breath. Nature made you able to do this after millions of years, to take in the life force when it is needed. When something is dead inside, you bring in life force. Oh, yeah. And then it flows again.
I like the simplicity of it, because I find that also in the weirdest way, meditation or, you know, different methods can be intimidating for someone who doesn't meditate and thinks it has to be, you know, I mean, and it's beautiful. You visualize your third eye and you visualize the energy coming in and out, but actually taking it to such a basic where it's just breathing, I think is really key for people who aren't in the habit of doing it, who are intimidated by that process, because it really is the simple thing that you're talking about.
Yeah. Not only Aida, we compared breathing exercises, these breathing exercises with brain scans. So they compared brain scans of people doing 4 hours of mindfulness a day for years with people doing these breathing exercises. And it showed that within 10 minutes, these people doing the breathing exercises tap into deeper levels of the brain.
Wow.
So
wow.
It is not about thinking that you are somewhere.
That's what I mean. No. That's what I mean.
Be somewhere else. Be. Bring it in and go with the flow. And then you will be there deeper than your thoughts are able. Hey, man, you stay here.
Yeah.
You want to go into the depth of the brain. This is what we have shown in brain scans, to ignite, activate through breathing exercises, 100% of the brain, 100% neural activity. That means everything is on.
How much percentage-wise have you shown? Because I imagine it's like 1%. How much neural activity are we actually accessing?
16.
Wow.
16.
Wow.
And they always talk, maybe 10, 15, 20, but never more. And now it's 100.
It's like a good 80 to 90% off of what we should be activating.
Yes. That's the wrong narrative. The narrative is so sickening, limited, making you dependent. So, I have no control over my own brain. How sick do you think evolution is? To give us a brain that doesn't work within our will for 90% or 85%. Come on. The logic of nature is that everything that you have is functional.
Yes.
Very simple. That is logical. And I am teaching the psychiatrist. Lately, I had a professor here, a brilliant neurosurgeon. He said to me, after we have been ping-ponging about what we are able to do with our mind and brain, he said to me, Wim, look at me in my eye. I go and give lectures all over the world in all the universities. I got professor rates over there. And I do that all, but you know more. And I'm a drop out of school.
Wow.
Man. Nature knows all the answers we as humans who are fucking up nature do not know. We only alienated from Mother Nature, who is so good to us. Now we are in these stupid, confused kind problems, making money out of it. It is sickening. So let's bring back the future. The future will be where we will awaken the people to their connection of innate capacity to be happy, strong, healthy. Everybody for free. Freedom.
I think, by the way, fuck yeah.
Yes.
I think sometimes I think, because my husband can get quite conspiratorial about these things too, that part of this whole thing is to take us further and further and further away from our own power, because it's the only way we can be controlled.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that is what's happening, but there is certainly an element where you realize that as we head into these chaotic times, and we're all now, the dialogue is about COVID and it's dangerous and it's scary, which we've all faced the same circumstances, that we then in our fear and without this narrative of self-empowerment and autonomy go further and further into a hole where we don't realize our own power, we don't connect with each other, and we don't awaken, and therefore self-destruct. It's interesting. I kind of never know how much credence to give one thing or another, but it is interesting that it seems like on a pharmaceutical level, it's in no one's interest that we awaken ourselves.
Yes.
And
as simple as it is.
Imperative.
Now it's the money, and power, and money and power. Okay, that's interesting. Okay, no, it's boring. It's the past. It is sickening and it doesn't work anymore. Evolution is knocking at our heaven's door, saying, hey guys, wake up. There's a new time, there's a future. The evolution is telling us to be happy, strong, and healthy, not to be in the darkness, to be in the light. So very simple. And the thing is, because I talk like this, nobody believed that before. That's why I welcomed science. And then I shifted the understanding of what we are able to do as humans willfully. So consciously is totally shifted. It's only a matter of time now that we give people the understanding that they are able to connect in one day with their real, authentic being, which is a happy being, a strong being, healthy being. In nature, it doesn't make sense not to be happy. Not to be happy means, oh, I take you on, because you are down. You are not attentive. You are not here. You are not in the moment. You are not strong. This is what we have created. We are killing the animal kingdom, and now we come with this sick human who is there, indulging in their own poo and pee in these big cities, and more and more and more food and numbness of the brain. No, we should be like your husband, creative, singing. Just sing it out loud every day. Have uninhibited power flowing through you like a river. Then it comes out like a beautiful chair, beautiful painting, a beautiful love, beautiful care in every moment. That is who we are.
Now, I had you touched on something. Well, I mean, there's so many things. I feel like there's like 18,000 questions I still want to ask you. Like, actually, that was one of them, too, is when it comes to, and I didn't hear you talk about this in anything that I saw, but when it comes to food, for example, is there anything in particular food-wise, or, I mean, is it because it's universe, it's plant-based, or do you not care because it's food brings you joy, and joy is the essence of this method?
No, how can killing bring us joy?
Right. I mean, I'm mostly plant-based.
Yeah,
so
like me. And, you know, it takes 10 times more food to make one piece of meat.
Right.
And we are killing the Amazon. We are thinking human beings. What should we do as governments? Now, the meat industry is very strong, but it is also fed by the appetite of their people. And they are liking it, this meat thing. It also has been advertised so much that they cannot think about a diet without meat. Now, if we look at it, it is processed meat. There is a lot of shit inside, a lot of steroids, a lot of fear is inside. That's why we fear death.
And antibiotics in it.
And all those things, they end up in our system. So that is one. Then food in general. The way the food industry has processed the food is taken out in nutrients and make it look like food, but it is no food. It is actually shit. And then food equals energy, they say. But then all the additives, all the colorants, the whatever is inside, the energy derived from the food we get, we actually need to get the wrong chemicals out of it. So in the end, we have very little energy of the food we naturally should have received. So food is no more food. We got to think about that one. Then second, plant food. It takes 10 times more plant food to make one piece of meat. The governments need to go into the future and create this paradise, the Garden of Eden, where the lions, the giraffe, and the people live all in peaceful coexistence. So whatever this fairy tale is, it's coming. It's coming where we will be in harmony with nature and be non-violent to ourselves, to each other, and to all living beings. That's what I think. And food, in the end, I eat once a day.
Wow.
More than enough. I got plenty of energy.
Wow.
You know why? Because I breathe.
Yeah.
Breathing, food equals energy. Breathing, breathing also equals energy. If you better breathe, it's called aerobic dissimulation. You create more molecules, which is energy, inside the cells, the mitochondria, and then you have more energy. Breathing.
That's where I get wrong. Is like I feel like with stress for me because I haven't been in this regular breath work. Is I just go to sugar. I go to sugar for energy, for stress as an emotional response. And I know that I'm making myself sicker with it. And yet it's that quick go-to thing that I turn to. And it's true. We've become, you know, we've become just like medicine and distracted with stress. We've become distracted with food and kind of lost the purpose of what it's supposed to serve. I love this idea that breathing gives you energy as opposed to food, because I'm definitely
just try
guilty.
It out. I'll try it out.
I'll try it out
and then try to break the habit just for one day.
Okay.
And do the breathing.
Okay.
And then it will substitute almost directly.
Yeah, I mean, if I could say no to the pastries and take a few deep breaths, I'd be really happy with myself.
Yeah. And did you do this breathing already?
I already did the breathing today, but unfortunately...
And the retentions, how long?
The what?
The stopping and holding.
Oh, I did. So I did the whole thing. So I did the three cycles of where you do the wave breathing without a break.
Yeah.
And then the next one where you inhale and you hold for a minute.
No, exhale.
Exhale and hold for a minute. And then you take that deep breath for 15 seconds or 10 seconds and exhale. So I did three cycles of that.
Okay.
And, you know, it was interesting because that's what I said. It was like that fear of not breathing. I had to have conversations with myself while I held that breath for a minute and then a minute and a half where I had to surrender my fear.
You sure? If you come to my place someday,
I would love to.
I'll make you in one day, in one morning, able to be 3 minutes without air in your lungs.
Wow.
Peacefully.
That would be amazing.
Because it is the fear, it is the messenger which needs to be addressed. There is some agent, biochemical agent, that creates that fear, that neurosignal. And it is still attentive when you do this.
I have lots of fear I recognized in the breathing technique. Lots of fear.
Listen to this. I'm sorry I'm interrupting. Maybe.
No.
Okay. But the thing is, I'm doing a study together with some professors right now on the cardiovascular system. And it shows that if you do these breathing techniques, then you go into these retentions, the holdings. And then because you don't breathe, the vascular system, 125,000 kilometers long, everybody has that.
Wow.
Everybody, it's inside. So then millions of little muscles, they all contract because of the retention of the holding. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That they contract extremely. And then when you take the breath in, it opens up extremely. 5 times more blood will flush into your heart and into your brain. 5 times.
Wow.
They have never seen this. They did heart films.
Wow.
These films, and they got in the university, and they saw this, and they said, this is the future of cardiovascular diseases, etc.
Wait.
Yeah. It's almost coming. Then trauma that is deep biochemical status of something stored of before, which could not be processed, but still plays a role in your life, and it's still blocking and still not processed. So it needs to be worked out. Trauma, any trauma, has a cardiovascular imprint.
Wow.
You know, so if you go into the extreme contraction of the cardiovascular imprint, vascular system, which we do with this breathing, and then extreme opening, you shake off the trauma, the cardiovascular imprint. It's also the future of psychiatry, because people with becoming schizophrenic, depressed, and all, is because of all trauma, of old fears, old blockages. And now we found the way to enter into the deepest. That's nature.
Wow. Do you know, it's so interesting, because obviously everyone's had their trauma, and I've had trauma. And interestingly enough, I have an irregular heartbeat. And since COVID, I've had this very strange cardiovascular response, and I have really bad heart palpitations, and they're not sure if it's POTS. And it's interesting if there's a correlation between trauma and a cardiovascular imprint, that I have this irregular heart and this heart issue, and that the fact that I could open up my heart and shake some of this trauma potentially could shake this physical response I'm having with the heart pump.
Oh, absolutely. It's no other way. It's no other way.
Because I've been in therapy for fucking years.
Try to do this a couple of days.
Yeah, I'm going
to.
Do
it well. Don't do it 3 rounds. Do it 6 rounds.
Okay.
Feel, as we have spoken before in this podcast, in how much time does it take? It takes 1 day to reconnect with the ability to process what needs to be processed.
Wow.
And that is your condition is within your reach, within your vicinity. The breath is able to go everywhere, and to manipulate the breath, the life force is to bring it and
back in alignment.
And when you think about it, your will is physical, is a neurosignal, and that connects with the neurology of the rest of the body. So it knows exactly what to do. You go with your intention, your will, before you go into the breathing, and then you say, I want to go to my heart, where I feel it, where I feel this strange stings. So I will go over there. And when you then do the breathing, the neurology responds.
It responds.
Yes.
Like a child who learns to walk, they know how to walk.
There you are. That's called top-down regulated interoception. Fancy word in psychiatry. They found that I was able, as the first one, to show how to top-down regulate the internal interoception the internal neurology. And I say, what I can do, anybody can do. I'm just, I'm a seeker who found something and I'm sharing it.
Well, here's, I have a couple more questions too. Well, the one is kind of more like in this state, because you're so in alignment and connected to source and regulated, and you have such your response, your ability to do this will be stronger than anyone's because you've journeyed it for so long. You have this incredible response. Do you find that in these small moments that we experience, like traffic jams or something breaking in the house, do you find ever a moment where you get stressed? Or are you so regulated?
Nothing I cannot regulate.
So you instantly, like your body probably knows the minute there's an elevation in the nervous system, your body goes down.
When you go into the ice, you learn to stay in the eye of the hurricane.
Wow.
You relax. Hey, the stress is still going on. And then the body is able to respond. But if we... then we interfere with Mother Nature inside. And then it only becomes more. It's saying, hey, don't stress. Find your peace. Find your control. Yeah. This is why this is a life's lesson. Stress comes to you. What do? You got to learn of it. You got to stay cool. And
do you know what I love about it? It's for me, it's what you're saying is even more empowering than surrender. Because your surrender comes in the form of a strength response. So it's not passive. It's an active surrender because there's a wave pushing back in the surrender that's protection and strength. I really like that.
Yeah. Fuck surrender. Surrendering. We always are victorious. Peace and power. Victory is the same thing. Peace is victory. We are able to oppose what is coming by regulating the inner nature to do what it is capable of. And that is to neutralize the impact. Whatever, a congestion, your husband talking like this, or management this, or the children come, and you are
screaming and crying.
Yeah, the whole thing, and too much and all.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Then at that moment is learning to be there so the body is able to respond.
Let
your body be responding. Then that is very active. It's beautiful. Once you begin to understand that mechanism, you're able to give it to others like a beautiful gift. It's better than a diamond.
Now, when did you realize that people were listening to what you had to say, that what you had to say, not only did you... Yeah.
Like, that was after the first big medical comparative study I did, wherein they injected us with E. coli bacteria.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
And that normally makes people sick.
Very sick.
very sick. And nausea and headaches and overall agony and fever and all vomiting, all that. And in my case, nothing. And then they said, but you are the Iceman. I said, no, I'm just human. I'm okay. If you want to call me the Iceman, my ego likes it. It's very nice.
It's a good fucking name. Iceman. Yeah. I mean, come on. It's a great name.
Sure.
It's better than the Lollipop King or something. The Iceman is fucking cool.
It is cool. Yeah. I have to say, fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. now that was one of my questions too, because I noticed because you've broken 26 world records, Guinness World Records. And I noticed, when we were talking about ice, and I noticed that in one of them, you ran a marathon in the heat without any water, which I've ran a marathon. And I cannot imagine having run it without a drop of water. My question is, what do you think, in your opinion, because you gravitate to cold, to ice, why cold over heat for the most part? Like, is it the sound? What is it about the cold that navigates that response better?
Because in the Netherlands, it's cold in the winter.
do you think if you
That's
were raised,
all.
If you were raised in California, you'd be like the fireman yeah. cometh?
Yeah. Yeah.
You'd be,
sure.
You'd be Wim Hof fireman.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. You but know, you anything that's
extreme,
comes to you,
extreme
makes you able to go into that hormetic exercise. Hormetic means self-inflicted, acute, stressful exercise, and be on top of it. And once you get be on top of it, you go past the initial stressful response. And this is where people normally never go. They always
right.
stay
in the comfort. Comfort.
Yeah, comfort zone yeah. behavior. Hey, nice, yeah. nice and weak, guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your strength really is accessible only if you go past your weakness, then the strength comes. And everybody has it. So back then in the first study, I said, anybody can do what I can do. You can call me the Iceman, extraordinary, freak of nature, abnormality, or what a genetical difference. I said, no, anybody can do what I can do. And I taught people within 4 days in the cold, in the breathing exercises, and then go in the hospital, receive E. coli bacteria. And they all could do what 16,000 people could not do prior in the same experiment. So suddenly 12 people, 100% score.
Can do it.
Bam, bring down inflammation. And inflammation, Aida, is the cause and effect of any disease.
I know it scares me when you say that because I know it to be the truth. And there's such a history of disease in my family. And I see myself caught in the stressors, falling victim to the same process. And I want to stop the madness. I want to center.
You are the one to stop it for your own lineage. Not only to stop it for your own lineage, also to stop it for your ancestral, for the ancestral spirits.
Wow.
They are gone, chain. But you are alive. You can free those ancestral spirits. That is pure spirituality that is able to go into the genetical expressions passed on from ancestors to you. You are able to free that. That's why you suffer therefrom. And now you are able to get it. I'm doing the study.
And unchain that.
Yes, yes.
Well, this was my question too.
There it is.
When I was reading about you, I was fascinated by the fact that you're one of 9 children, which is just, you know, I have 4 and it's overwhelming at times, and 9 is huge, and that you're also a twin, which is crazy to me. And that was my question is like, is your twin, I know he practices, because I read a little bit, he practices the same kind of breathing technique, but
now he does.
But how long did it take? Because genetically, you're the same in theory.
Yes.
How different is your, because you are years and years in the face of these challenges, and he, I would imagine, has not faced the same challenges. How different are your physiological responses now? And your, you know, we're talking about the heart. Does he have heart issues that you don't? I mean, how are you different now in ways where you should be the same?
Yes. Here's the difference. It goes back to my mother's a delivery of me into this world. When he was already there, nobody suspected another baby.
No, they didn't know.
Yes.
Wow,
and so
that's a surprise.
I almost came too late. They didn't suspect it, and they wanted to have me delivered through a cesarean in the operation room. So they shoved her bed over there. She wasn't feared about it, but also a pious woman, believing, God-fearing, and she prayed. And in the hallway, just before arriving into the operation room, she prayed, oh God, let it be in fear, but also praying. I mean, then God is close, I tell you. And she was a naive mother, but very strong. And she then, oh God, let this child live. I will make him a missionary. Boom!
Wow.
There I was.
Wow. That just gave me chills.
Yes.
Wow.
And then, Aida, 48 years later, I'm in New York. I do a world record in the Rubin Museum of Art, Himalayan Art, in January, 1 hour over, 1 hour, 1.5 hour into the ice in the streets in New York, 20 camera teams of nationalities all there. And then the other day I go to do an experiment. They take the blood while I do my breathing exercises. And a week later, they pass it on through the telephone about my blood values. And they say, Wim, if you are able to reproduce what you have done in the Biochemical Institute, where we took the blood and we analyzed it, then that means huge consequences for mankind.
Wow.
It will be able to bring down all these, and he named about 20 diseases. And when he was saying that, I knew I can pass it on anytime to anybody.
Wow.
So there was the missionary born. And a half hour later, I got a phone call, Wim, your mother died.
Oh my God.
You see?
Oh my God.
That's the way that. So that what mothers do.
Wow.
We have to pray. We have to praise our mothers, respect our mothers, and get back to Mother Nature itself. And there is the love. There is the power. And this is what I want to give my children. I got 6 children, and now they have great confidence, because I say life is not to be in fear. Life is to live with fear, to be as a friend. And therein it will teach you. And they teach more than the schools are narrowing us down.
But that's what I was wondering is, do your kids, and I also was wondering, and that answered my question, was did you come from a spiritual background? Because this practice is so supremely spiritual that we're talking about here, that it makes sense now with your mother, even though hers was religious in a different way, it's still rooted to a spirituality and a spiritual belief system.
Yes. So it doesn't matter what kind of religion you have. It's faith. Is faith.
Do your kids now, because they were, you know, something you talked about was when my kids were homeschooled, I actually did have them do meditation and yoga every day for school. That was the beginning of their day. And that's just in my limited capacity to bring what I can bring to the table. Do your kids, do you get the sense from them that they practice this and they have this same response to stress and the same kind of spiritual approach to life that you've shared with them? I mean,
They all laugh about why people have so many difficulties.
Wow. Because they don't get it. Because they've just been in this pocket with you in the slipstream of, we're all powerful. We can all stay healthy. Wow. That's great.
You can do anything. Just do it.
Wow.
Don't think about it. Oh, I cannot do this. I cannot do this. No. Stop it a moment. Today is the day. What am I going to do? I feel a little bit shit. Go into the cold shower. And they, my daughters, when they were like teenagers, they didn't want me to do what I was doing. They wanted a normal father.
Right. Did they ever think you were really uncool and weird?
Yes. And now they have become instructors in a method which bears my name.
Wow.
And they love it. They have university degrees. But they don't out. They want to work with the people. They want to work on the love, de-traumatize the people, have great times. That's what they do.
Wow.
So society back then, when I was not famous and all, I was doing the same thing. So I don't give a shit about being famous. I give a shit about
sharing it and heal
people. When I heal people because they heal themselves, then it makes me happy. Then my soul is blessed. I go for that all the time.
Well,
the more the merrier.
The missionary story for me is now resonating. It's like it's put a whole nother element of all of this work behind it is like truly a missionary, and just the like incredible beauty of that cycle with your mom and your birth. And now what you're doing is very, it's fuck yeah.
Yeah.
That's ancestral divinity. That's fucking cool.
That
wow.
It is.
Wow.
That's the core. She was naive. She was naive because in back then she was very intelligent. But back then, if you got married, you could not work as a woman anymore.
Wow, that sucks.
Those times, yeah?
Yeah.
So, but she was intelligent. Now, get that intelligence, that naivety, and that faith in a moment of distress and fear at the same, and then invocating, oh God, let this child live. I will make him a missionary. She didn't even know what she was doing, but she did it. And that power is so much in the core that has never left me. And now it's becoming a flower. I am going to change the world because I respect my mother. That's
wow. By the way, like, that would be what you just said is like the best Mother's Day card in the whole world. What you just said,
yes.
It's like your love for your mother and your respect for her is so incredible. And I kind of was thinking as you were saying it, the yin and the yang is just the way trauma can impact the heart and the whole system and the biomechanics of our responses. Things. I truly think in that moment where your mom was so connected to source when she was giving birth to you, and she made this wish for a missionary, that there was something impacted in the beautiful way in your heart and in your system. And
it was driven by the universal greatest power called love. And it was there. Simple. Boom. And now we are going to change the world. That's why I salute your work. Lady of the light. And let's bring more light into the world and let's explode it everywhere that we have come determined and very able to break the darkness and bring the light for everybody and take away unnecessary suffering in every person in this world. Make it a paradise. That's who we are. That's what we do. Very subtly, very down. Okay, I'm going to do it.
Do you know what? I think that's the perfect way to wrap this conversation is in this power of love that you've just opened up to everyone listening. And I think the power of love is our greatest, I don't want to say weapon because there's a negative implication in that, but it's our greatest tool to this universe. And what you're doing out there by spreading this spiritual truth and this physical well-being and this correlation is so powerful and magnificent that I bow all my breath to you in this moment because it's all in the breath. And I think we close it with one deep breath because that's our life force. Let's breathe in, breathe out.
As simple as that. Power!
I want to thank you, Wim. And with one last one, I say we go.
Fuck yeah! Yeah! Postcards from the
Edge. If you enjoyed this episode, please, please subscribe. I mean, it's actually begging. Rate us, review us, all the 5 stars, all the bells and whistles, please, wherever you find your podcasts. Seriously, desperate, desperate for a good review.
Also, if you want to get in touch, you can find me on Instagram. My handle is Ida Field Williams, so please let us know what you think of the podcast and even who you might like to have on as a guest. You never know, we might actually be able to make it happen. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Postcards from the Edge is a Blueprint Pods production. Executive producer Sophie Palak and producer Warren Borg. Postcards from the Edge.
Hold up. Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.